Good morning. I want to start today inviting you to visualize. And this might be one of these close your eyes right carefully moments because, you know, it is Sunday morning and it's a little bit warm in here and it's quiet. But what do you visualize when I invite you to visualize a place of peace? Where do you go? Is it familiar? Homey? Exotic? Maybe with some white sands and some lapping waves? Is it some place that you know well or some place that it takes a little bit of work to get there? Or do you find yourself wondering, you know, I'm not quite sure where that is? I'm guessing whatever comes to your mind when I say a place of peace, it's going to be someplace other than the day-to-day grind of where you are and what you're doing. And if I'm wrong, congratulations. Because you're living a fairly centered life. But I think we all have that place in our mind where we can go and where we can think and out of which we hold the peace that is our center. It's this peace that Paul is writing about in our text for this morning. Philippians is both one of Paul's happiest letters and one of his shorter letters. He's writing to a church that he established and just calling them back to doing what they know they are called to do. So I am going to pick up in chapter 4, which is the end of the letter. And this is how he starts closing things. And he starts with a very ordinary request towards reconciliation. I urge Euodia and Syntyche, to be in the same mind in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, my loyal companions, to help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. We started with a visualization of peace. Here's the other half of it. What is making you anxious today? Where is your worry? What are you thinking about? I'm guessing you don't need a huge amount of time or invitation to say, what could there possibly be in my head? And if I were to invite you to turn to your neighbor and share, more than likely you would have something to say. Don't worry, I'm not going to make you do it. You don't have to sneak out quite yet. We all have our worry. We all have our care. We all know what it is to have our concerns. We all carry our stuff, and so much so that we've become far too accustomed to it. Anxiety is a significant illness, increasing rapidly from a mental health perspective. But more than that, and more than just what is diagnosed out there, it's something that we know intuitively. We're all holding a little bit of what if. And now what? And what could possibly be? Whether it's a personal discomfort or even when we look at the news and say, I wonder how this is going to turn out. We worry. We hold on and we allow the fears of the ways that things may or may not work out reside with us day and night. Our worries are there for each one of us, individual in their shape and size and sharpness, and they connect with each one of us. On issues of provision, of future, of choices. And it's part of our lives, and it's natural. And for the record, this isn't going to be a sermon that just says, ends up saying, you know what, just don't do that. Because I think that's about as constructive as saying, you know, stop itching a mosquito bite. You may want to, but it's probably not going to happen. We hold these things because they're important. Because it's about our fear and it's about how things might be. And we have a lot of fears. We fear that there may not be enough. I don't think we ever fear that there might be too much money in the checkbook. We fear that the present that we have now will somehow be out of our hands and taken away. We fear that every bump and change in our world and what we know to be true and immovable and solid might be the one thing that starts our lives collapsing around us. We know fear that we and all of us are finite in a world and its needs often seem so infinite. And when we get in contact with all of these fears, with all of these anxieties, we can become preoccupied with worry, and we begin to see the scarcity of where things are and how things will be and what comes next. It's natural and it's part of life. And it's even a little bit good because actually you can't really run an economy without a little bit of fear that there's not going to be enough. But be that as it may, it's not what we're called to. It's not who we're called to be as a church. It's not who we're called to be as people of God. It's not who we are called to be as people of peace. Peace is one of these wonderful English words that is huge in its meaning, but often vague in its understanding. And we're invited to peace by way of coming to a knowing of where we reside. Paul's writing here. Is Paul reaching out to people he knows and loves from a place that he knows well? He's doing what he always has done. He's touching base with the congregation that he's planted and making sure that that the spread of the gospel continues. That's what he cares about. And here he's starting to close his brief friend with his brief letter to Philippians with the normal stuff of what he does. You know what? I've heard that you guys are arguing. Do what you can to be reconciled. I know that you guys are out here and being challenged. Rejoice even in that. The advice that he gives in parting is come and rejoice and find the peace that passes all understanding. He's holding up the way forward for those to whom he is writing because of that which has came before. He held up God in Christ for them as a way of changing you wholly. And he's reminding that that change also extends in how you think. And this advice has lent credibility when you know where Paul is writing from. Paul is writing in prison, in a Roman prison, probably in chains, probably with the nighttime wish of, by the way, one of these days we're going to get around to executing you. We don't know when, but one of these days. It's fairly common practice in Rome to just sort of lengthen out a death sentence that way because of the power it gave over the prisoners. Torture and beating were commonplace. So when Paul writes this, rejoice always and find the peace of Christ that passes all understanding, he understands that there are situations in life which you do not understand peace. But he invites us to find it all the same. He had every bit as much reason to worry and to have anxiety as anyone else out there, and instead, he's commending this peace of Christ to other people far away. We all call ourselves in the Mennonite Church one of the historic peace churches. It's a weird term. And what we mean by that often is that we hold as one of our basic ideas that the way of Christ is the way of peace in the world. And we phrase that peace in terms of the fairly physical reality of we reject the violence of the world. We reject the idea that might makes right, and that we ought to be choosing violence for ourselves. But too often we put this notion of peace, this socio-political worldly idea that it's not God's will for us to kill each other, far afield from our deep knowledge of spiritual peace in who and what God is, and why we have a root in the first place. We're not always very good at connecting these two spheres of peace, because at the end of the day, we're not quite sure how they interplay. But here's the thing. I think we do better to say, we are about being peace in the world solely and only because beyond all understanding, beyond all of our comprehension, beyond all of our imagination, we know that Christ is peace. We know that Christ has moved in us. We know that Christ is working in us. And yes, we still worry. Yes, we still have anxiety. Yes, we don't know what we're doing. But even here, there's peace. And so, even out here, how can I build peace? How can I take risks for peace? How can I do something new for peace? We can only do the work of worldly peace if we are conversant with the spiritual peace of Christ that roots and binds us beyond our worry, beyond our anxiety, and reminds us that the world in which we live is not finally the world that has the final say. That we can even entertain placing our own faith where it belongs, in the one that holds all things today, tomorrow, and always. We need to be a peace church in the truer sense of the word, a church that knows its full peace is in the relationship with the living Christ, and out of that relationship we are compelled to the work of the building peace in the world. Because this is the peace that roots us in all of our contests. It's the promise that we receive again and again. Not that we are offered a life outside of anything or outside of the worries of regular living, but rather that Christ's peace is with us when we know it. Our prayers and supplications for God is not what earns us this peace. It's not what sets up our ability to understand this peace. Rather, it's simply our practice that time and again brings us back to remember there is peace. Remember there is spirit. Remember that there is something beyond you out there. Again, we don't pray to earn this. We pray to remember. We pray to be reminded. Because at the end of the day, all of this peace is about the work of the Holy Spirit. It's about the work of God's Spirit coming and dwelling among us. I'll be the first to say that we don't do well at understanding who and what the Holy Spirit is, because we don't have the whole criteria of, well, do you speak in tongues? Do you do X, Y, and Z? Do you have this? And if you do, blessings. That's awesome. But we shy away when we don't know what to do with the Spirit outside of the charismatic gifts. And sometimes we need to just be able to be reminded that the work of the Spirit comes despite us and beyond us, even when we're not anticipating it. November 1st was Emily and my 5th wedding anniversary. And it was giving us a moment to just pause and frankly remark on, seriously, it's been 5 years? Alongside, I can't believe it's only been 5 years. Because in those 5 years, between the two of us, we've moved 3 different times, grieved the loss of Emily's father, had 2 kids, a couple of near-death experiences, 53 days in neonatal intensive care with Luke, bought, renovated, and sold our first home together, and then moved to a second country. You know, no big deal. And so far, the next 5 to 10 years don't look all that different, so here we go. I don't raise this to say, hey, look at us. Aren't we insane? We are, but that's something different. I raise this simply to say, guys, in those 5 years, there was as much fear and trembling and tears as you can imagine. But yet, here we are. Not because we're good. Not because we're pastors. Not because we're spiritual. Not because of anything. But simply because people walked with us, prayed for us when we didn't know how to pray, and simply held us up and rooted us to the peace of Christ that is, that we don't understand where it comes from. We don't have the recipe of how to get it. But we know it's real, and we know it's there. And yes, we know that you, as Menno, are a big part of that group that have held us in that peace. And for that, we are grateful. This is some of what we do for each other. The point of peace, the peace of Christ, is to hold each other within it and for it. And sometimes we hold each other in prayer through all the stuff of life. We are the ones that are functioning as the thin roots of hope back to the deep well of faith that's beyond any imagination, beyond any expectation. As much as we would like to suggest an easy formula of how to get from point A to point B, it doesn't really exist. Rather, we are promised that the Spirit will simply be with us in all circumstances, connecting us to what we most need. The confidence to continue in a world that is hard, far more than the simplistic removal of that which would make us uncomfortable. God chose to come into this finitude that we call human existence. And so God knows fear. God has entered our uncertainty and has been with us. And the point was to give us something bigger than us, bigger than ourselves, bigger than the reality that we know it. The point was to give us the kingdom of God, that wonderful mystery that connects the broken present to the deathless eternity. We have become Easter people because we have been given a taste of eternal life. We do not rapidly pretend that everything will be okay, or that there are not fears in our present world. But we know that our worries do not have the final word. That the church, that our lives, that our world is the work of God and the provision of the Spirit. Our fear does not carry final power over us, but rather we occupy the space that God has created for us, come what may. And we have the peace of Christ, even when we don't know what to do with it. Even when we don't know where it comes from. Even when it passes all understanding. If we can but reach out and get it. May the gift of God's gracious peace be with us. Hold us fast, even when the world sweeps around us, or would seem to sweep us away. Amen.